Hi, everybody. My name is Imrie. Thanks for listening to The Fold podcast. The Fold is a ministry to young adults that exists to lead others to Christ, cultivate real community, and equip the saints for service. We meet on Tuesdays, and if you'd like more information, check out our Instagram at fold.wyattpark. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by this message.
As you can see, this is not our typical setup for a Tuesday night Fold, but it's going to be exciting nonetheless. The ones you just heard, the men you just heard leading us in worship are going to sit right here in these chairs, and all of you hopefully are going to look at the number we're going to have up on the screen and text in any questions you have, but we're really trying to be specific to questions pertaining to worship. What does worship look like? What does leading worship look like? Really anything that's on your heart as it pertains to worship. Is worship only while you're singing? Those are kind of the questions we're looking for. We have a few that we've already written, but we really like hearing from all of you guys. That's why they're here. They want to be challenged. It's going to be lighthearted and fun. This is a spectacular group of guys. They all get along, sort of. But it's going to be a super fun evening, and we're really looking forward to it. I'm going to turn it over to them, and they're going to introduce themselves, 10, 15 second introduction, and name one instrument that they can't play but wish they could.
All right, I can start. My name is Zach. I help lead worship at Renovation Church, if any of y'all go there. I was born in Liberty, lived in St. Joe for 2 years, lived in Texas, Arkansas, kind of been all over the place, but I've been here for, I think, 7 to 8 years now, and the Lord has really grown a heart of worship in me. I hate speaking in front of people. It's my worst fear, actually. So that's kind of my story, but yeah, an instrument that I wish I could play is the drums, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I've always given, like, props to drummers because I'm like, how do you practice? You just sit in a room and, like, bang stuff, yeah? But yeah, props to Danny over there for the drums today. All right, next.
Hi, I'm Kenny, and I grew up in St. Joe, north of St. Joe. Then I moved to Montana for a while, and now I'm back. I serve as the worship pastor and high school pastor at Wellspring here in town. I would also probably say drums for what's the instrument I wish I learned.
Great job. My name's Danny. I'm actually, believe it or not, Kenny's twin brother. Born and raised roommates. Now we're roommates. So it makes us pretty cool, I guess. I actually don't have a church job like them. I used to be a worship leader, youth pastor in Maryville, but I'm a DJ now. And so have my own business. And that's what I do. Instrument that I wish I could play, but I can't, is, has anybody just like had it? Unreasonable desire to play the harp, because nobody can do it. Have you ever met anybody who could play the harp? Nope. That's what I thought.
My name is Ben Boswell. I'm from Raven, Missouri. I moved from my parents' house to my own house a couple of years ago. That's the most moving I've ever done. I'm like, yeah, but yeah, I did. I play electric guitar. That wasn't one of the things you asked, but anyways. I wish I could play the keyboard, though.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I should have done this whenever I was doing the initial introduction, but you may notice that our own Fold worship leader, Michael, isn't up here. He planned to be, but him and Jillian are at Children's Mercy with Phoebe. I don't want to speak over something I don't know about, but it's looking good. She's progressing well. She wasn't growing as much as they would like her to, so they're staying there for the next few nights. But to my knowledge, and I apologize if I'm wrong, things are going well, and they'll be packing up to come home hopefully tomorrow. But with that, we'll move into our first question. And however you guys want to answer, if one of you doesn't have an answer, that's fine, but I'd like at least two or three of you to answer each question, or all of you can, maybe 45 seconds apiece. Worship's definitely an overused word. Can someone define it simply? What is worship?
Got it.
I'd say I agree a lot. A lot of people, when they think of worship, they think, you know, just music, you know. And if you would ask me, you know, just a year ago, I would have probably said the same thing where, you know, music was worship, you know. But recently I realized, you know, worship is your entire life, you know. It's your entire devotion to God, you know, just bowing down to Him constantly. And I would say that's what worship is.
I think you used the words exactly what I was going to say, but it's a lifestyle of sacrificial devotion. Is how I could define it in just a couple words.
Yeah, Zach and I talked about it beforehand. And I think sacrificial prayer is probably the thing that I landed on.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit it. I feel like, I guess, the American church, we've kind of confined this idea of worship into a song or into a building. And I don't know, I think when you break out of that and understand that, like, as Christians, like following Christ, we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. So we are supposed to live worshipful lives in every single area of our life. The way that we work, the way we speak, the way that we sing songs up here. I mean, everything is worship to God if you're doing it for Him. And so I think if we break out of the idea of like, oh, I'm going to come sit through a song at church, you know, it's deeper than that. It's like you're connecting with heaven. Like if you understand that the Spirit of God is within you, like, and you believe that Christ really resurrected from the dead, it's like there's so much more than just like listening to a song at church. It's like we're praising God, like the creator of all things. So
thank you. More I think that ties in with this next one. They said, how do you know if you're lifting your hands in worship because of Jesus or just lifting to blend in with others? I want to show Jesus my worship, but I don't know how to be sincere.
Okay, I got it. So I don't know. Think about, I'll give a hypothetical. Okay, so you got person A, let's just say they're in the congregation, and they're lifting their hands and their heart is like, oh, you know, I hope that person next to me sees me. I hope that chick thinks that I'm super godly, you know, like all these things. And then you open your eyes for a second and you're like, oh, those are nice shoes, you know. So like that's situation A, that's the heart of person A. And then you have the heart of person B that's like, maybe they don't even have their hands raised, but in their heart, they're like, God, what are you doing in my life? Like these songs that we're singing, are they like, am I supposed to actually believe those lyrics that I'm singing? Like, God, teach me through your word. God, who are those around me that I need to share your love with? Like, so basically like a prayer, because you said like sacrificial prayer, right? So worship is, it's not just a song we listen to, but it's communication with God. So it's like you have heart A and heart B. Which one is more honoring to God? The one who just lifts their hands because, you know, I want to be seen by people, or the one who is like in their heart, like, God, I want to know you. It says, Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If we take that seriously, it's insane. So.
We're supposed to do everything as we would into, you know, the Lord himself, you know. So, you know, if he was in the room, you know, I just think to myself, like, you know, it's so much fun to play. And it's so much fun to just, you know, let it loose, you know. But sometimes you're going to have to dial it down a little bit and realize, you know, this isn't for me. This is for the people who are singing.
I think one of the ties that corporate worship or just like music has with just our everyday life is there's a lot of times where, kind of like Zach was saying, that we can just get in the phase of going through the motions. I really liked what you said about just kind of it's a matter of where your heart's at, because there's a lot of Sundays where I've walked in and I've just been a mess, and God's been like an afterthought of my worship, and God's been just something that's like, I've got so much going on, God, be over here. And you know, you can go through the motions, you can do that, but I've noticed, and this may be kind of adding on to what you're saying, I don't think it's a bad thing that when you're connecting with the Spirit, vulnerably lifting your hands and surrender to God and saying, God, I know that my life's crazy. I know that things are going on. What I'm trying to say is like worship is a corporate worship, singing, worshiping is a recentering for me. It's saying like, God, I know that my life's a mess right now. I know that things are crazy. I know that I haven't given you the attention that I have. but like in surrender right now, please refine my heart. Please let me see you again. Please let me see you for who you are and what you're doing in my life. Let me kind of throw off these other things that have been keeping me from you. So,
yeah, just like the song that we just sang, I think there's different avenues that you can, depending on your season of life and your life circumstances, also just your perspective of who God is. There's different, when you worship, you're maybe singing the same thing, but you're declaring something different. So what I mean by that is, like, the song we just sang, the bridge of it is, like, a very, like, if you slow it down, it's like, if the cross means transformation, you can hang me there with you. Like, that type of sacrifice, like, that's brutal. But sometimes it's like you're begging God, like, I'm not there yet, but I'm begging you to get there. I need you to get there with me. And other times, like, you feel like you're fully surrendered, and so you're saying, thank you, God, for allowing me to go through this, but you're singing the same words. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, guys. This one's a little more, I guess, personal, not as deep. It's, what made you become worship leaders?
I started playing guitar when I was 14, and I always went to church camp, Flaming Spirit Church Camp in Oregon, Missouri. And then, you know, I was just playing one summer, and then Danny asked me if I wanted to come play at Junior High Week, and I was like, yeah, sure, you know, and I just had so much fun playing, you know, and it just, the energy was awesome, you know, and it was a way to glorify God that I had never done before, and I just really loved doing it.
So our dad was a worship leader, youth pastor growing up, which we kind of fell into the same role. And so it made a really easy, like, kind of, it was really easy for us to get into music because he was doing it. And, you know, we didn't really have a bunch of musicians at our church. And so we were kind of thrown into guitar and drums at a young age. Kenny started taking lessons. I'm sorry, I'm speaking for you. But I started taking lessons.
He always has spoke for me.
I started taking lessons, and then my teacher quit on me, so I just kind of had to learn on my own how to play the drums and stuff, which, yeah, that's fine. But it's just kind of been a natural progression through my life, at least, of like, hey, next opportunity, what does that look like? Whether that's leading at camp, whether that's getting a job in Maryville to where they ask you to come and play music on a Sunday and lead there. So, yeah, started from since birth, basically.
Same.
So my pops coached football and my mom works in insurance. So we really didn't have any like musical background at all. But I remember one, I think it was the summer. I was at a friend's house in Arkansas and he had gotten a guitar that previous Christmas. And I kept walking up to the guitar, picking it up, you know, fiddling around with it, had no idea how to play it. But my pops noticed that, ended up like surprising me with a guitar a couple months later. And I just remember crying. I was like, holy, cried like 3 times in my life. But it's weird. It's like a surreal feeling of like, I don't know, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And ended up learning over the course of a few months. And I wasn't really like attracted to the bar scene or like making money with music. But I saw it like my local church, you know, there's a spot that needed filled for acoustic guitar. And I was like, this is how I can serve God. And that's really how it started. Just, I love God and I learned how to play this instrument. So I just kind of took it from there, I guess.
Thank you. How do you remain humble when performing every week?
So I think the newness of you're on stage and you're performing, it wears off very quickly. And people will sniff you out if they think that you're fake or you're a phony or whatever. How personally I stay humble is I laugh things off. I mess up and I'm like, that's okay. like the words were, I couldn't read them because I'm legally blind. And so I messed up the first song. And it's like, with some people who I've noticed maybe are like beginning and like it's part of their identity, it's like that would just crush them. But I mean, I don't want to like brag about humility, but like the way that I think I stay humble is I keep it lighthearted when I mess up, but also just realize like I'm a human. Like there's nothing special about me. I've played guitar and I've sang for a while, but deeper than that, I want to be your friend. And this may go on to another question. I'm sorry, but like once you know the people that you're worshiping with, you can look out and look into their faces and you know their stories, and it makes leading with them almost a prayer for you, because you're praying for the people that you see. You know, the like I work with high school students, and just seeing their lives be transformed, like their parents don't follow Jesus, like some of the worst possible things have happened in their lives, and I look out and I see them weeping during worship, and it's like, who am I to think that I'm here to perform? Who am I to think that this is about me in any sort of way? And like, if that happens, that I'm getting some sort of ego or whatever, I pray that God takes me out of it quickly. So, yeah.
I really agree with him there. It is honestly, it's very hard for me because my whole life I've been a perfectionist in everything that I've done. And what helps me the most is prayer. Like, praying before and after, you know, just like, you know, God, make this about you. Don't make this about me, you know. And it helps, you know, like Kenny said, looking out into the crowd, you know, and just seeing people with their hands up, you know, eyes closed. It's just like, this is all for God, you know. This has nothing to do with me. And I'm so glad it doesn't, so.
I think just one of the ways that I try keeping worship not about me, and Kenny's so right, like, if you've never been on a stage before, it wears off really quick, like the performance aspect of it, to where like sometimes people will say good job and it's like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, I don't know what you mean. But
I'm going to keep going, but I'm going to come back to that.
Thanks, Kenny.
Put a nod in.
So much for you speaking for him.
Okay, so one of the things that I do, and I just consistently do it, is I close my eyes. Just because I don't, I really want to remain the connection here musically, but I also want to remain the connection here between me and God, because that's what it's about. Kenny said, just, you know, you kind of get sniffed out if the humility or if the connection's not there. And a lot of times I just really kind of feel overwhelmed or feel like maybe things are about me or about the performance or about the show, I just shut my eyes. And I pretend like I'm sitting in my room worshiping and just crying out to God. So, yeah, it's one of the ways I stay grounded.
Yeah, I think y'all covered most of it. I mean, if you don't humble yourself, this is with any aspect of your life, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. He will find a way. And I'm sure everybody can attest to that at least once in their life. But, yeah, if it ever becomes about the stage, we're wrong. Like, we're dead wrong. It has to be only about God. And that's it. It's not how perfect we play the notes. I don't know. I hate calling it a performance. In a sense, it is, because you practice, whatever. But like, it is fully unto God. And the moment that we try and take an ounce of that for ourselves, I mean, we're missing the whole entire point. And so, I mean, that's a heart check, always.
I think, if you don't mind, one of my biggest heart checks is actually like, I'm a people person or a people pleaser, and I love seeking approval from people. And one of the biggest heart checks I have is when, you know, we get done with a worship set or something, and I'm almost like waiting for somebody to come up and say, you nailed that one. Like, that's a heart check for me. And that, man, you really need to examine what you're doing and why you're doing it for, because you're not in the right place right now. And it helps having friends and people and avenues to where you can talk about that and say, man, I'm not making this about myself right now. Like, God, please recenter my focus in this.
That, Oh, wait, can I go first?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. One thing I do, you know, even when I get compliments, you know, because I really, you know, sometimes when you go down and you like expect.
He's really good, guys. He's really good.
Okay. But, you know, you expect to get it, you know, you're like, man, I am not doing this for the right reason, you know. So if someone does say, you know, good job, you know, I'm like, you know, thank you, praise God, because, you know, praise God for just the opportunity and the ability to do any of this.
Can I go?
Yes, sir.
Turn his mic off.
So the whole idea of people giving you compliments during worship, it's like if we just like define worship just a minute ago as like sacrificial prayer, as like crying out to God, and it's like an oxymoron when you say good worship, because it's like, well, what do you mean? Or like when people come and critique worship, it's like, oh, I'm sorry that your time with Jesus wasn't beneficial to you. Sorry that that was a distraction to you. It's like, it just does not make sense in my mind when people come up and say, good job during worship. I understand, I think, what they're saying is like, you played well, you sounded good when you sang, great. But when it connects to your heart and you get that, it just puts like a dirty feeling. I get all jittery sometimes when that happens. Yeah. There you go.
In case you guys missed it, the moral of that one is he's got to get a lot of compliments after they worship. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just made everyone insecure to even come.
Cut him off.
Don't ever say good job again.
In my opinion, this is more than likely the most important question we're going to have tonight. What's one piece of advice you would give to someone that's on the fence about giving their life to Jesus?
It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. People say, you know, getting married, you know, I'm getting married in July, you know. That's the most important. No, giving your life to Christ. No offense. I love you. Giving your life to Christ is the most important decision you can make in your life.
I mean, what's worth gaining in this world if you can't have eternity? What's the verse about a man gains the whole world, forfeits his soul? Yeah. What is the point of gaining the whole world and forfeiting your soul? I think of like, there's a few like nice neighborhoods around here, like, I don't know. Suburban America, think about it. That's what everybody's chasing. It's like you chase the high level of income, a nice house, a big family, you know, everything's perfect. You can pay all of your bills. And to a lot of people, that's heaven on earth, okay? That is like the highest that life gets, right? Being able to afford what you want, have fun, you know, go and sin. Like that's literally the perfect life to somebody who doesn't know Christ, okay? I know people who live in those suburban houses, who have millions and millions of dollars, who have a huge family, all of the things, but they're still depressed. They're missing something. Their heart is completely empty. They have no true joy. They got to walk around their workplace all the time, completely empty, void of any like true future or hope of life after death. And I'm like, if we don't have Christ in suburban America and all the things that you can attain in the world, if that is heaven to you and people are there and still depressed, man, there's nothing there. Like, there's good things on the earth, right? God made things to be good. But like, if we're missing him, if we don't accept that Jesus loves us, that he died on a cross and raised 3 days later for our sin, I mean, we're missing it completely. He is the most important thing. It's either Jesus means absolutely nothing to you. It's either his sacrifice is just kind of something you read over and it's part of history, doesn't apply to you, or it is absolutely everything in your whole entire world, and that's it. I don't understand like the sorry if this is too harsh. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay.
Preach that.
The Like, man, if you're in the middle, that's what I'm talking about. If you're in the middle, like, please make the decision. Like, it either means nothing to you or, oh my goodness, God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me and that I will inherit eternal life by believing in him and following after him. I'm sorry I'm over my 45 seconds. But I was empty, guys. I was depressed. I was anxious. I had nothing to gain on the earth. Nothing was going to satisfy me at all. And I found Christ, and here I am. Sorry, I'm done.
I would just say, if you're on the fence, like, why not? Why not follow Jesus? If Zach's saying what's true, and then the fruits of the Spirit are joy and our peace and all the other ones, patience, kindness, forbearance, whatever that is. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? And I think you all and I know that in the world we get little fixes. If we're searching after idols, which are things that try to replace God, we get these little glimpses of who God is. But until you meet the real Jesus, who can heal your heart fully and forgive your heart fully, there's nothing else that compares to that. And so you can live just on a heart level of, I want little pieces of peace. I want little pieces of joy. And you run to temporary fixes, or you can run to the one who knows your heart. If it's just like, I love the song Christ Be Magnified, and I love the words to it because it talks about if God created us, it says when every creature, it finds their inmost melody and they find their inmost song. It's like once you find Jesus, and it's like your heart is where it's meant to be. And that is so separate from the world, because I see people searching. I can see it in their eyes when they step into youth group or when they step into the church. I can see them searching. And the thing I think that people confuse a lot, so I don't know if there's people in this room that have that, is church people and the way that they've hurt you is not Jesus. And so I don't know if you have a past of that, or a sin is not Jesus. The way that sin has affected people's lives is not who Jesus is. And so there's a song by Jordy Searcy I was listening to today that, like, if you only knew who Jesus actually is, and we portrayed him so wrong. Like, don't blame Jesus for the hurt that you've experienced from people who are broken. There you go.
I would say, just kind of partnering with everything that they've said, first, we got to count the cost. Zach said, it's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. It's the cure to all of your things that you're searching for. But it's like we hold so tightly to these things that feel so good, or that look so good, or that are so appetizing. It's like, God's asking us to give that up. And it's like, man, why would I give that up if it's so good, if it means so much to me? And God is asking you to sacrifice that. God is asking you to replace that with something immensely better than you can ever find. Something I just kind of wanted to add to everything is just like, have you guys ever been around somebody, and I just think of youth students constantly because they're the ones that I see most consistently doing this, but a youth student or somebody who it clicks, like they finally get it. They finally grasp Jesus and they fall in love with him for the first time. I don't think there's a more infectious drug out there. I don't think that there's something that you could find in this world that is more amazing than seeing somebody young come to Christ and say, I'm done with this world. I'm done with the things that my friends are trying to go after. I want to chase you and you alone. It's one of the most humbling things on earth, but yet most of their friends and most people on earth choose to do the other thing. And so counting the cost means weighing what this means and what this means to give this up. But in the end, just like Ben said, it is the best, most amazing decision of finally just saying no to yourself. Like, no, I'm not going to choose to be depressed anymore. I'm going to choose not to be held by these things that just continue to drag me down. And I want to see the light like my friends who are coming to Christ the first time again. Yeah.
Thank you. That was really good from all of you, actually. But, okay, this one's a little bit more lighthearted. How do you pick the songs that you sing each week?
Hey, Siri, what song should I sing this week?
Got any dice?
Well, it's got to be biblically true. I mean, you don't want hundreds of people singing something that is not biblical. So that's first and foremost, absolutely. Secondly, just more practical. If somebody's preaching a message on, let's say, the grace of God, then it's kind of fitting to do songs that are about the grace of God. So we can all just come together as a church body to kind of agree on that, right? It's like the worship agrees with what's in the text, and the text is included in some of the songs of like, so if we're talking about the grace of God, what songs would we not do? I'm trying to think. Well, 90% of them. And then like 10% you have of like, oh, that works, you know, and it's biblical and we're praising God. Yeah. But, okay, one more thing. We don't want it ever to be about us. We want it to be 100% about the Lord. I love testimony songs that kind of, you know, what is God to me? That's cool. But ultimately, like, I want to give him the glory and sing to him.
I think it's important to read the crowd that you're going to be, you know, a part of the worship with them as far as music goes. Because I'm from Ravenwood, Missouri. I go to Ravenwood Christian Church. We still sing hymns every morning. And, you know, I absolutely love hymns, you know. But I also love, what would you call it, contemporary songs? Is that what you call it? Contemporary songs. And Sunday nights when I sing and I pick songs, you know, I try to pick songs that they can follow easier. And, you know, we always do communion right after we sing the second song. So I try to, you know, make sure the second song that we sing is, you know, more so centered towards that, and kind of so you can get in the meditation of communion.
I think there's a couple things that's important. One, not so serious. There's some times where we're kind of like, especially at camp, like picking out a set or something. It's like, hey, I need a song that fits the same key, that's kind of this tempo. And so we'll pick something that's kind of just transparently like that. And so that's kind of the lighthearted one. But one, like, if you're consistently seeing people in worship and seeing them engage with something, it's kind of like I talked about earlier with making sure that the connection's here, but also here. If you see that your people are responding to something that's specifically the words to a song, even the way that the song's formed and built or whatever, I will try to put that in consistently. But then one of the things that I always try to do if I know that I'm leading and somebody's speaking is just finding out what they're really trying to drive home, seeing what the heart behind their message is, and seeing what's something that would be good to supplement that to really help just put an emphasis on that for the night. So
sweet. Is singing in the car to Christian songs worship?
Sure. Can you repeat that? Repeat it.
Is singing in the car to Christian songs worship?
I would say it depends how you do it, I guess, you know. Sometimes I just...
While speeding.
Huh?
While speeding.
That's a little hypocritical, Scott.
No. I don't take that up with the judge. I don't know.
I guess I'll keep going. I would say yes. I would say yes and no, because, you know, sometimes I do it just to see, you know, this is kind of silly, but like, you know, can I hit this note? You know, can I sing it in this key? You know, and in a way, it's practice for when you actually do it, which isn't bad, you know. But sometimes, you know, you just got to crank it up. You know, I don't care what I sound like, you know, just praise God.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Andy, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Did you come up with that one, Maddie?
No, actually.
I'm just kidding.
How would you encourage someone that doesn't like to sing during worship?
Pray. Think about the words of the songs. Like, I understand that music is one way of engaging with the Lord. And honestly, for me, it's not the way that I engage with Jesus the most or on the deepest level. It's out in nature and seeing pretty things, which is hard to do in St. Joe. but I mean, like, that is worship. When your heart is reflecting to God, that's worship. When, like, it doesn't just have to be defined to singing on a Sunday morning. Like, it's a prayer and it's sacrifice. Like, my friend Zach here, when a few years ago we were meeting and having coffee, and you don't know where I'm going with this, and I love it. And we were talking about, like, his heart and just kind of him debating whether, do I want to go into the world? Do I want to pursue, like, worship ministry? And he got to the point where it was like, yes, I think I want to go through with this. And God took his voice. And it hurts him to sing. But that's not what worship is. Like, worship isn't singing. It's your heart's condition. And I think that it's just such a beautiful, thing that God has put, like, on Zach's heart, that Zach says, yes, God says, I'm going to take your voice. So let's figure out a new way to worship. And so I think that's just a beautiful picture of, like, I don't care if you sing to the song. I do care. Sing to the songs. But if you need to pray, like, if Zach needs to be a quiet servant in the background, leading people because that's what they need, then that is worship too.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So, I've learned a lot in this season. It was, like you said, I was like, all right, God, I want to do this thing. I want to lead worship. I want to serve in ministry. And then I lost my voice. I have vocal hyperfunction is what they call it. Who knows what that means? But basically, it was like God asked me, he was like, is your yes still yes, you know? Like, are you still going to serve me? How are you going to show me you love me now, you know? Because I had built, I felt like a lot of me and God's relationship was based off of, like, what I could bring him and worship and stuff. And so through this, I've gotten to see him as more personal, that he walks with me. I feel like even though I can't sing and it hurts to talk and sing and stuff, like, I lead from a more pure heart because I know I can't physically do it like I used to. And so just being able to serve. And it's like, I think back to the who do we do it for? And I was reading a verse today. It's like, if you're still seeking for the approval of man, like, you're not serving Christ or you're not serving God. I don't know where that's at. I look over to Scott because he's like a genius with the word.
Galatians 1.
Thank you. Love you. So, it's always that. So more practical, like, think of the areas that you're serving in your life, okay? And truly, like, why do you do it? Do you do it for applause? Do you do it for, recognition? Or do you serve because you truly love God? And if that got taken away from you, say the opportunity for you to serve got taken away from you, would you still find another way to serve?
Who has been your biggest inspiration to continue pursuing worship?
These guys. I'm serious, you know. I like I said, I went to church camp and I grew up seeing Kenny and Danny sing, you know, and really get into it. And, you know, Kenny played electric guitar, you know, and I was just you know, I try to stay focused. Sometimes it's hard, but you know,
Kenny's so good. He's amazing.
I love you, Kenny. But anyway, yeah, just really anyone who can get up and sing and play in front of people. I'm just like, man, that's so cool. You know, it's such a cool way to serve God, you know, but any way is cool to serve God. If you serve God, it's cool. Okay. But yeah.
Mine is Corey Asbury. Not his congregational bangers that he sings, but like Christ Be Magnified, but his quiet, like reflective songs. There's one called Dear God. And has anybody heard that song? Yeah. Good job, Amy. So it's talking about God's, it's talking about our perspective towards God and feeling like we don't like measure up to the standard of God. And I'm trying harder. I'm doing all these things for you, but it's still not enough. And then the second verse is wife sings actually. And it's talking about God's perspective of us and just saying like, the love you've tried to earn is already here. And just that story throughout my life has just been, that's just been a constant thing of my life of like trying to earn God's love and God saying like, I'm here. I actually had a little thing and put it over my bed that had the lyrics of that song to it, just speaking truth of God's perspective towards us. And he's like, he's funny and he's goofy and he loves his kids really well. And he's had a wild, wild, crazy story too, of just like rebellion to, he was a worship leader, but people question his authenticity. And then now he's a father and he plays Fortnite. And it's just, he's just a normal. And I think that's what I love about him.
I think getting to see people come to know Christ like firsthand, serving at a ministry consistently and seeing people just accept the Lord and being there for that. So it's not necessarily that's why I do worship, but that's why I serve at a local body, to see firsthand like what is God doing in our community. So that's what keeps me doing it. And I just know that's a way that I've been able to serve in the past. So I just continue to see what God does.
No, I think, like, I can't nail it down to anybody specific. I love music, which explains why I'm a DJ. But also, just on top of that, like, I love seeing people in any aspect, in any avenue, whether that be music, whether that be just being a good friend to somebody. Like, people truly expressing their gifts that God's given them in worship. So.
Thank you. If you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be within the last 5 years?
Is this worship specific? God's gotcha. Yep.
God can glorify you through, glorify what you've done through, you know, the sins that you've committed, you know, and like he knows you, he knows where you're gonna be, you know. You just gotta lean on him, and I'd say that's been the you know, the biggest thing. I'd be, just be like excuse me, just like it's gonna be all right, you know, just trust in God.
I think with how fast I've seen the past 5 years go, I think I would tell myself to live for the day to day, to be more intentional with the people who are right in front of me, instead of, you know, just so fixated on what am I going to do for a career? How am I going to provide for my future wife and family? Like all of these doubts and worries that comes with the future. It's like, man, you're living right here, right now. You're young. Like, people who are in their 50s and 60s, like that's a lot of them just think that all the time. Oh, I wish I was young again. Wish I was young again. Why? Why do you think that all of them say the exact same thing? It's like, I don't know. It's because of time. You have the time. So just, I would tell myself, live day to day. Be more intentional with the people who are in front of you, because they will leave. You know, people come and go, and, you know, they're brought to different opportunities and, you know, stuff like that. So just appreciate them while they're there.
I think for me, it was really cool when I came to the church that I was at. I was super broken, and but I still felt like, because I was in the position of leadership, that I had to be constantly looking outward instead of letting people into, like, it was a two-way street. It was a one-way street, and it needed to be a two-way street. So vulnerability, like, allowing people into your story, and along with that, emotional health, just like pursue Jesus, but also pursue being emotionally healthy and healing from some of your wounds and your trauma. Because everybody has something. Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question, one word answer, because I want to have more time for the question she's going to ask. What is your favorite instrument to use during worship?
We know Ben's.
Electric guitar.
That bro Love shreds. It. He shreds.
Can you use one word, please?
Oh. That's true.
Stumped.
Guitar.
Acoustic guitar.
I'm thinking.
That was my word.
Take your time.
Okay. Electric guitar or mandolin? That's fun. It's just small and fun.
Oh, acoustic guitar.
A lot of stringed instruments here.
I said guitar.
Oh, sorry. Okay, do you have any personal stories of worship fails?
I can go first. So, you know, like, when worship leaders will try and, like, ad-lib before a big chorus, they're like, all right, let's sing together, you know, they'll throw something out there, like, all right, everybody sing. Well, we were singing Gratitude one time, and the chorus of that song, the lyrics are, "And so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again." And so right before the chorus, we're building in, I want to encourage the congregation. And so I go, "So I throw up." And yeah, that was awful. I instantly regretted that. So yeah, that's one I vividly have dreams about. So, that's one.
So we are connected to the these little boxes that have wires that connect to your ears, and you hear voices in your heads. That tell you where to go in the song. And so when I was working at the church in Montana, it was just this really powerful message, and it was communion time. And as I was walking off stage, I forgot to disconnect. And so as people are getting communion, it was just this loud bang during the middle of service. And I turned so red. It was embarrassing.
I know yours is going to be the best one probably, so... Mine's pretty anticlimactic, really, honestly, but I would say probably my worst one is just when you're at camp, you know, I have the volume pedal all the way back, okay, so I thought, and, you know, getting ready for a nice heavenly swell, and just, ring, you know, I'm just like, yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen, and Danny looks back at me, I'm like, sorry.
So I'm about to get really personal, and you guys can have to promise me you won't judge on this one, but it was a couple years ago at camp, and I do this thing before, like, any music thing, to where when I'm nervous, I drink a lot of water, and so got done with the beginning set, went to the back, had a couple bottles of water with me, and I'm just sitting there like, all right, what are we going to do after? We got to remember this. So I start chugging and didn't stop. So before I know it, I was like, all right, I'm going to go upstairs and use the restroom real fast. And then he's like, all right, and if the band will come forward, and I'm like, crap, We really got to go. So we get up on stage and we have about a 4-song set, and it hits, and it hits hard. So I'm like, we're in the middle of like an instrumental thing, and Kenny's next to me, and I was like, Kenny, you need to pray. It's like, what? It's like, Kenny, you need to pray right now. So Kenny starts praying, and I sprint up and use the restroom and make it back down, and Kenny's still going.
Good prayer.
I made it back, though. So, yeah, that's my worship fail.
Okay, well, can we give these guys a hand, please?
That's not the end of the story. Uh-oh. He peed his pants.
Yep.
I thought you were being honest, Danny.
Didn't know how personal we were getting.
Now an even bigger round of applause, please.